This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget my wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning next week with another great show, so don't forget to tune in. We're here every Sunday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. You can also listen to any of our previously recorded shows by going to www.myvillagegreen.com and clicking on the archive show link. I also learned recently through my iPhone that if you just go to iTunes and you type in the Essentials of Healthy Living, all of the previous shows will come up for you that you can download right to iTunes and listen to as podcasts on your iPhone or on your iPod or on your computer. And we have a lot of great shows. Just recently had a patient. She found out about the show. She's an avid runner. Every time she goes running, she's been listening to another show and just feels like she's learning a ton about health and wellness by listening to our previously recorded shows. So don't forget to tune into those. Today I got a great show lined up for you. We have a lot of really interesting information to cover, and today's show I think is a really, really important one to talk about. Today we're talking about sleep. Sleep is such a huge issue for so many people. I would say almost 90% of the people that I see that come in for any related problem, when I ask about their sleep, there is usually some type of issue or disturbance or aspect to their sleep that is not ideal. And as we're going to discuss on the show today, we're going to explain and talk about some of the reasons why sleep is so incredibly important for your optimal health and for your body and for physiology in general. And what's really exciting is the special guest that I have on the phone with me today is a medical director for a company that uses some type of laboratory analysis to help us diagnose the problem with your sleep. There are so many different issues that might be causing sleep problems. Just throwing sleep aids at them, whether it be over-the-counter, prescription, or herbal, is not always the best remedy. To actually diagnose and understand physiologically the problems that are occurring with your sleep allows us to take a much more targeted role at correcting those sleep problems. And I have seen it over and over again in my work. The more you know about the causes of the sleep disturbance, the better and more easily you are able to remedy them. And that's the other thing we're going to talk about today. We're going to be discussing different options for dealing with sleep problems. We're going to be covering a lot of the most popular over-the-counter and herbal and natural supplements for dealing with sleep, and we're going to talk about the pros and cons and the differences between some versus the other. So we got a lot of great information lined up for you. By the end of the show today, you should know a lot more about the importance of sleep, how it affects your physiology, and most importantly, if you're having sleep problems, what you can do to help improve your sleep cycles. So on the phone with me today is my special guest, Joe Ailtis. Say it, Joe.
Joe Ailtis.
Sorry, I tried to even write it down phonetically and I still messed it up. Joe Ailtis, and he's the medical director at director of medical education at Neuroscience Inc., which is a laboratory testing company. And Joe has a lot of really useful and wonderful information he's going to share with us today. So Joe, thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Dr. Passero. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, sure. Do you want us to tell us a little bit about your background so listeners sort of have a context about who you are and the work you do?
Certainly be happy to. My background is in biotechnology, graduated from the University of Wisconsin, also continued my education with a master's degree in nutrition, and have worked for Neuroscience Incorporated for the last 10 years studying the various facets of sleep neuroscience.
That's great. Yeah, and we've talked about neuroscience before on the show. and some of the work that they do. You guys do a lot of extensive testing, immune testing and neurotransmitter testing, working with conditions like depression, ADD, all sorts of immune dysregulation. So the scope of testing that you guys have there is great, and I'm a huge advocate of what you all are doing.
Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate that. And as the company has grown throughout the years, one of the things that we have come to understand is the importance of the nervous system in health, especially with sleep function. And as you mentioned, Dr. Passero, the role of hormones and the immune system in sleep as well. It's an incredibly complex topic, but it's also got a lot of options for identifying better ways to manage sleep issues.
Exactly. So first, let's talk about sleep. I want to give sort of the definition of sleep. It's defined as a naturally recurring altered state of consciousness with relatively suspended sensory and motor activity characterized by the inactivity of nearly all voluntary muscles. Pretty standard. Here's where I think it gets really interesting. Sleep is a heightened anabolic state, accentuating the growth and rejuvenation of the immune, nervous, skeletal, and muscular systems. And that, Joe, I think totally underpins why sleep is so important to overall health. You know, when we think about our physiology throughout a normal day, during the day we have high amounts of hormones like cortisol, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Circulating in our body. We have a diurnal rhythm where cortisol output is highest at 8 a.m. and falls throughout the day. And the reason why don't you explain, why does our bodies release more cortisol during the day?
Great topic. Cortisol, as well as some of the other hormones and chemical messengers in the body, are really essential for driving our metabolic needs of activity throughout the day. Given that throughout the day, most individuals are awake and they're busy working, they're busy thinking, they're active, we need these types of chemical messengers to signal to the body that we need energy, and we need these processes to be entirely active as we go out our normal daily schedules.
Exactly. Cortisol is defined sort of as a catabolic hormone. It breaks things down. It helps us to break down sugars from our liver to help us liberate glucose into the bloodstream. It helps keep our immune system suppressed throughout the day. This is totally, you can see this so easily when you look at kids. When do people usually spike their highest fevers? It's not in the morning. It's not usually in the daytime. It's usually at night because the immune system is being somewhat suppressed by cortisol throughout the day, and that's a natural function of our body. So that our immune system is down, our body is breaking down things to help fuel the activity and energy we need for the daily activity. So during the day, our body is in this catabolic or breakdown state to deal with the demands of energy necessary to carry out our daily functions. And at night, sleep stimulates this anabolic state. It is our chance to rebuild and rejuvenate from the stressors and the breakdown that happens on our body throughout the day. And fundamentally, I think people don't understand physiologically how important that is. You know, and so we're going to talk about today, Joe, definitely the role of cortisol and how it can definitely negatively affect sleep and some of the problems that can happen if cortisol levels aren't where they should be when we're trying to go to bed at night.
Absolutely. One thing that we do know is that the so-called flight or fight response, which is characterized by the release of all these chemicals that help break down nutrients and provide energy for the body to help run away from a particular stressor, involves those same exact neurohormone messengers that we just finished discussing. And so when we're talking about how to keep someone into a nice diurnal rhythm where they can fall asleep at night, finding ways to minimize the negative effects of what we call these excitatory or catabolic hormones and transmitters is really at the crux of how we move forward.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to do the proper kinds of evaluation to understand the physiology behind why someone's not sleeping, because it allows you to direct your therapy specifically at that issue and not just blanketly throw things at it. I want to just review real quick the different sleep cycles, because I think this is interesting. Our body progresses through several different cycles of sleep. There's REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement, which most people are familiar with. And then there's NREM, which is non-rapid eye movement sleep. And normally the cycle goes from what's called N1, which is basically the transition of the brain from like alpha waves to a deeper state. This is oftentimes people are awake. This is the state that you're in when you have like a sudden twitch when you're about to fall asleep. Then we progress into and two, which is characterized by a little bit of deeper sleep. Muscular activity tends to slow down a little bit, and consciousness tends to fade a little bit. This occupies almost 45 to 55% of total sleep in adults. Then you get into N3, which is really the deepest stage of sleep, the deep or slow wave sleep. And after N3, usually you start to cycle back up to the N2, and then you hit REM sleep. And I think this is interesting to note because most people are under the impression that REM sleep is the most restful and rejuvenating sleep. Or I've heard people have that impression a lot. And that is not true. REM sleep is when you're dreaming. So that is why if you go to sleep at night and you have a really, really busy night of active dreaming all night long, usually you don't wake up very refreshed. And that's because you've never gotten into that really good restful phase. What can happen with some people is they can enter the first stage of sleep N1, they can enter the second stage of sleep N2, and then they can skip right to REM and then go right back through the sleep cycle. Your body goes through about 4 or 5 sleep cycles in the course of a night. So this is what happens for people when they feel like they're repeatedly dreaming all night long. And, you know, I think it's important to know because for me, I'm somebody that happens to where I can have nights where I have really active, really vivid dreams and I wake up feeling really unrefreshed the next day. And that's because my body was not hitting or is not hitting the actual N3, the deepest phase of sleep. So it's really important. And we're going to talk about how the different neurotransmitters and different hormones that we're going to discuss facilitate the importance of hitting all of those stages of sleep and getting us, most importantly, into that third stage of sleep, the N3, where the really, really deep sleep starts to happen. So, Joe, do you have any comments on sleep stages?
I think you're spot on with that that description of the sleep stages. We agree completely. Indeed, it is hitting that stage 3, as you described, that we feel provides the most restorative effects. You know, we certainly recognize that dreaming and REM sleep is very, very important, but it's not the only aspect of sleep that is necessary for your body to rejuvenate overnight. And I think, as you alluded to, really that stage 3 is where most of that recovery process takes place. And you don't even know you're in that particular stage because you're not dreaming, but it is indeed the time when your brain kind of coincidentally is quite active, but it's actively managing those restorative processes that provide the true benefits of sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know that for me, the nights when I fall asleep and I wake up the next morning and it feels like only 5 minutes has gone by, but it's been a full 6 or 7 hours, those are the nights that I feel really rested. And they're often very little dreaming because I probably spent a good amount of time in the N3. And this is also why when we cycle through these sleep phases, how sometimes if you wake up maybe 30 minutes before your alarm clock, you may be coming out of REM and going back into N1 and your body's naturally coming out of a sleep cycle, you may feel pretty awake. But if you decide to roll over and fall back asleep and 30 minutes later your alarm goes off, you feel like somebody hit you over the head with a club and you're totally exhausted. It's because your body's gone back into the sleep phases and you might be back in N2 or back in N3 in a really deep phase of sleep and now you're trying to pull yourself out of it. So, I mean, I just think that's interesting knowledge for people to have because a lot of people experience these things but don't necessarily understand the physiology behind it. When we come back from the break, we're going to be getting into the details of the biochemistry of sleep. We're going to be talking about how cortisol plays a role, serotonin. We're going to be talking about melatonin, a hormone that a lot of people have heard of in relation to sleep, epinephrine, norepinephrine. And we're also going to be talking about some of the exciting testing that can be done to help us understand how these biochemicals are affecting our ability to sleep or to not sleep. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this break. This is Dr. Kevin Passera with the Essentials of Healthy Living. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Since 1973, Megafood has been providing supplements which harness the power of phytonutrient-rich whole foods. For optimum nutrition and true vitality, we need foods which have not been damaged by heat. Megafood's state-of-the-art cold fusion process naturally protects the delicate phytonutrients present in whole food. Supplement daily with an easy-to-digest Megafood formula and enjoy the best that food has to offer. For information, call 800-848-2542.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of FitFood, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of FitFood contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. FitFood provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet. Committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
For over 30 years, Gero Formulas has been formulating high-quality nutritional products. Our scientists and health professionals insist on doing things the old-fashioned way, with clinical studies and scientific research, because the true test of a company is the purity, potency, and value of its products, and meeting the highest expectations of those who matter most, our customers. To learn more about our formulas and to request free samples, visit JARROW.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am Dr. Kevin Passero, your host for this hour. My wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be returning next week. If you have any specific questions for me regarding today's show, or if you have questions that you want me to answer on the air for you, you can feel free to email me at Dr. Passero, DrPassero, at gmail.com, and I'm happy to go ahead and bring those up on the air. Today we are talking about sleep, and in the first segment we covered some of the basic biochemistry of sleep, some of the different sleep stages, some of the important role of sleep in overall health. In this segment we're going to be getting and tearing down some more specifics about the complexity of the biochemical reactions that need to happen in order to induce good sleep. I have on the phone with me today a wonderful special guest. He is the Director of Medical Education for Neuroscience, Inc., which is a laboratory company specializing in doing laboratory testing for some of these specific biochemical hormones we're going to be talking about. And as far as I know, they are the leaders in the field as far as this type of testing is concerned, and there's really nobody out there even coming close to the work that they're doing. And what we talked about before is how important it is, if you're having sleep issues, to figure out what's causing it. We're going to talk about some of the different biochemical issues that can cause sleep disturbances, but there are things like sex hormones. So women who go through menopause have a lot of issues with sleep issues. So estrogens and progesterones can play a role in that. Stress hormones like cortisol, stimulatory neurotransmitters like epinephrine and norepinephrine, hormones like neurotransmitters like serotonin, melatonin. So, Joe, help us understand and help us break down the complex nature of the hormone cascades that need to happen in order for somebody to get good sleep.
Absolutely. Be happy to do that. I wanted to step back and say that neuroscience has spent the last 10 years investigating this very complex topic, and one thing that we have learned is that there's an amazing amount of scientific research out there on the complexities of sleep, and really it's our role to take all that information coming out of these prestigious academic institutions, digest that, and then turn it into something that a clinician and a patient can benefit from, such as a new test or a novel product, and that really that's what our key focus is. Again, as I mentioned, the amount of science and literature describing these processes behind and underpinning sleep are really, really quite numerous. And it's my pleasure to share some of this information with you because it is a very exciting time indeed. So let's start with talking about some of the hormones that are related to sleep process. And really what it comes down to are hormones play somewhat of a secondary role in managing the body's transition and maintenance of the sleep process. Perhaps the ones that we had discussed earlier, cortisol and melatonin, those are probably familiar to audience listeners out there. And again, they play somewhat of a secondary role in this sleep process. And we'll talk about the neurotransmitters, which play this primary role here in just a second. But in regard to the hormones, as we talked about earlier, cortisol is that catabolic hormone. It serves what we call an excitatory function. It tends to rev people up. It makes energy available for consumption, and it also does a number of other things that essentially contribute to this more excitatory role. So for people who are under a significant amount of stress, and really who isn't these days, oftentimes have this large output of cortisol from their adrenal gland, and that occurs throughout the day. And normally, you have a cortisol spike in the morning, which helps get you up and running, and by the end of the day, that cortisol release is somewhat tapered off so that you can make a nice, smooth transition into the sleep process. But for those people who are running all day long, they don't seem to settle down until late in the evening after the kids are put to bed and they've gotten home from work, et cetera, oftentimes they still have this large cortisol pool still circulating in their bodies. And cortisol serving in this excitatory role will have an influence on the function of the brain, and especially those sleep centers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's also a pattern that can happen with people who are been under chronic stress for an extended period of time where you can almost get a reversal of this cortisol output where it's lower in the morning and it actually starts to elevate in the evening. And I've seen that very frequently, and people will tell you exactly how they feel. They feel very fatigued, tired when they wake up. They need stimulants like coffee to be able to get going. They drag throughout the day, and then invariably they always tell you that night is their best time. And around 8, 9, 10 at night is when they start to wake up. They start to feel very stimulated, and they try and go to bed, and they can't basically shut their brain off. They get the mind racing. The thoughts keep going in circles. That type of experience I have found to be very much clinically correlated with elevating cortisol levels at night.
Likewise, this is something that we've observed time and time again as well. And we've also been able to tie that back to the degree of stress that people place upon their lives, simply not taking the time and the strategies they need to do to manage stress effectively, especially in the evening when it's time to get ready for the transition into sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about some of the other hormones.
Yeah, certainly. Let's talk about melatonin very quickly. Melatonin is classically known as the sleep hormone, and we certainly recognize and respect the fact that it plays a very, very important role in helping the body from a hormonal perspective transition into the sleep state. But it's certainly not the only player in the game when it comes to sleep and the different processes that the body uses to make that transition. Certainly for people who have melatonin deficiencies, melatonin as an exogenous or dietary supplement has its place. But again, as we're discussing here today, sleep is so much more complex than simply cortisol or melatonin in and of itself, which I think serves as a nice transition to some of the sex steroids such as estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and what role they play in the body as well.
Yeah, and I mean, people will know if melatonin isn't what they need because oftentimes it either won't help them, so they'll take it and they say it didn't work for me, or they may have some odd side effects from it. They may have very vivid dreaming or just not quite feel right with it. And, you know, obviously the best way to determine whether or not somebody needs melatonin is to do some type of evaluation or testing, like what you guys offer, to determine whether or not they're actually melatonin deficient.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Our experience shows that perhaps less than 10%, maybe even 5% of the population has what we consider a true melatonin deficiency. And again, in those people, melatonin certainly would be warranted as an intervention strategy. But for the vast majority out there, those who are having sleep problems, it's not necessarily a melatonin issue. It certainly could be an imbalance in another hormone, such as estrogen or progesterone. And for those that have used bioidentical hormone replacement or other types of hormonal interventions, you probably can relate to the fact that progesterone seems to have this amazing calming effect, as well as helping some women transition into sleep. And from a biochemical standpoint, what we know is that progesterone actually works with some of the neurotransmitters in the brain to help transition these neurocircuits, if you will, into more of a relaxed state. And Progesterone, again, as an intervention, does a nice job of complementing some of the neurotransmitter processes that really regulate that sleep cycle.
Absolutely. Getting the hormones regulated is very important, and so many women will tell you that as they get through perimenopausal times, the sleep cycles start to get disrupted, and getting the right kind of hormone situation set up can certainly help that. Let's talk about some of the other neurotransmitters.
Sure.
And what these are and how they affect sleep.
You bet. Neurotransmitters are really where it's at when it comes to managing sleep. And that just makes sense. Sleep is a function of the brain and the central nervous system, and the chemical messengers of the brain and the nervous system are indeed the neurotransmitters. When we're talking about sleep, the most important neurotransmitter that has to be considered is GABA. GABA is what we call the body's natural tranquilizer. It is the braking mechanism that slows down every process in the central nervous system. And there's a region in the brain called the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus is really the area that is has the most direct control over the sleep process. And GABA is the neurotransmitter that this particular brain region uses to shut down all the other active processes in the brain that facilitate the transition into sleep. And additionally, we have other neurotransmitters that play this inhibitory role or tend to slow down the brain and make that transition into sleep. Many of the audience probably heard the serotonin before, serotonin also known as the mood neurotransmitter. Well, serotonin plays an important role in the sleep process as well. It kind of acts as GABA's helper, if you will, in order to help make that transition into the sleep process. And so the pharmaceutical industry obviously understands this, so does the dietary supplement industry, in creating different types of medications as well as supplements that help enhance the function of GABA and serotonin. And these are really some of the most effective ways to provide interventions for managing the sleep process.
Can't serotonin also be converted into melatonin? Is that true?
Absolutely correct. Yeah. Part of the biochemistry involved in neurotransmitters and hormones indeed shows us that serotonin as a neurotransmitter can be converted into the hormone melatonin. And this just makes sense from a biological point of view. Something that serves as a chemical messenger in the brain is also then converted into a hormone that helps facilitate the sleep process as well. And so when you can balance each of these two neurotransmitters, you're kind of getting a double whammy, actually, that helps support sleep function.
Right. That's totally true. So that's how we break it down, trying to understand what the neurotransmitter situation looks like, what the cortisol situation looks like, which is oftentimes determined by the amount of stress somebody's under, how their melatonin levels are, how their sex hormone levels are, any other factors that you want to bring up as far as potential things that might disrupt or inhibit somebody's ability to sleep well.
Certainly. On the other side of the coin of the serotonin and GABA more inhibitory or braking mechanisms, we have what are called the excitatory neurotransmitters, adrenaline, noradrenaline, which are also known as epinephrine and norepinephrine. Also included in that list is a neurotransmitter called glutamate, and each of these transmitters has what are called very excitatory properties. These are the chemical messengers that drive throughout the day, giving us the ability to think, to process, to memorize, energy, motivation, et cetera, et cetera. So it just makes sense that we would need these circuits and these neurotransmitters to calm down in the evening, which then allows the brain, again, to make that transition into the sleep process. What we have found is that through various types of stressors, dietary habits, genetic preconditions, and other factors will essentially put someone in a circumstance where their excitatory neurotransmitters, again, adrenaline, noradrenaline, glutamate, are overactive throughout the night. And really the key to getting someone back to sleep into a normal sleep pattern is finding a way to calm down or cool down these overactive neurocircuits. But also comes back to identifying what is really the neurochemical that is truly imbalanced for that individual.
Right. So that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. Joe, I want you to explain to the audience some of the details of the neuroscience testing and exactly, you know, what parameters and how you guys extrapolate this information and understand what somebody's hormone and biochemical makeup is like and how that might be affecting their sleep. So when we come back, we're going to pick this conversation up. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio. We're going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code. Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining a healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero, and don't forget this show is brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. They are located in Bethesda, Maryland on West Cedar Lane. They've been here in the Bethesda area serving the community's health and wellness needs for over 40 years now. It's a wonderful place to go. We have a great staff, super knowledgeable. If you're interested in health and wellness issues, you can come there, talk to one of the compounding pharmacists. We have a regular pharmacy. We have nutritionists, herbalists, naturopathic doctors, people who have been working in the field for 15, 20 years who can help you make good decisions, educated decisions about your health and wellness needs. So don't forget to stop in if you haven't been in there. It's definitely a neat place to go if you're interested in this kind of stuff. So today we've been talking about sleep and sleep issues. I'm hoping you guys are learning a lot about sleep. I know this is an important topic because about 90% of my patients, regardless of what they're coming in for, when I ask everybody, I ask about how their sleep is, 90% of people report some types of trouble with their sleep. If it's maybe two nights a week, three nights a week, five nights a week, whether it's an issue falling asleep or whether it's an issue staying asleep, they wake up at three or four and can't fall back asleep. There are so many confounding issues. And as we talked about in the first segment of the show, sleep is so vitally important to restoring your body. And it's not just because your grandma said so. We know physiologically, sleep is the chance that your body has to literally repair itself from the damage we do being active during the day. And sleep is so incredibly crucial. So the special guest on the phone with us today is the director of medical education at Neuroscience Inc., which is a company that specializes in doing laboratory testing to help further and better understand things that might be wrong or off with sleep issues. So, Joe, thanks so much for being on the phone with us today.
My pleasure.
And what I want to talk about in this segment is let's talk about the neuroscience testing and basically what kind of system and what kind of parameters your company has developed as being sort of on the cutting and leading edge of testing for these types of things. How do people test for these? How much does it cost? Are they covered by insurance? What are we looking at? And then maybe we can talk about some case examples. Go ahead.
Certainly. One of the things that we know for certain is that the very same chemical messengers that control the sleep processes are something that can be measured in various biological fluids. Most people are aware that you can measure cortisol. Most people are aware that you can measure melatonin. We are also finding, and we have established processes for now, the ability to measure the other chemicals involved in sleep process, serotonin, GABA, adrenaline, noradrenaline. Each of these different, what we call biomarkers, are excreted in various biological fluids. And so we have developed a testing platform where we can accurately and cost-effectively measure cortisol and melatonin in the saliva. We can also measure the various neurotransmitters in urine samples. It is a non-invasive process. Thankfully, we don't need to go into the brain in order to get a sample for these different situations. Again, it's a non-invasive, very simple collection that's actually done in the comfort of the individual's home.
Yeah, as I refer to it to most people, it's the spit and pee test.
Exactly right.
And, you know, so when we're measuring in the urine, aren't we looking for, like, the breakdown products of the neurotransmitters? As the kidney metabolizes them, it creates very specific types of metabolites, and that's what we measure in the urine? Is that how it's done?
That is part of the equation.
Okay.
In addition to the various breakdown products of the chemical messengers, the kidney also excretes the chemical messengers themselves as an intact molecule. For example, the serotonin that comes out of the central nervous system in other areas is actually filtered out as serotonin in the urinary pool. So we are actually making a direct measurement of the different biomarkers floating around within the body's system.
Wow, I've probably done 1,000 of these tests and didn't know that. So thanks for explaining that.
Sure.
I thought it was all metabolites. That's really interesting that the serotonin is actually directly from what comes from the bloodstream. So let's talk about some situational stuff. Well, first of all, let's also talk about your company has done a great job in cooperating with a lot of different insurance companies. Typically, if you were to go in to see a medical doctor or a naturopathic doctor or a nutritionist or somebody to get one of these tests done, most of this test is considered sort of alternative, and most insurance companies usually do not pick it up. However, you guys have been able to contract specifically with some insurance companies, so there is a very good chance that most people's plan will cover all or a portion of the test. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Medicare, certainly we've got a very strong contract with Medicare as well as with most private providers for health insurance plans.
Yeah, which is great.
Degree of coverage has always been quite favorable and certainly allows this option for many, many individuals.
Yeah, it certainly helps facilitate the process. So let's talk about how some of these, you know, profiles might look, because I want to kind of explain to people what goes on like in my office or what goes on in a doctor's office who's doing these tests and how it looks. Basically, you know, you go home, there's a few different profiles. There is one very specific for sleep. And if anybody out there is interested in getting one of these profiles, you can actually come by the Village Green and pick up a test kit for absolutely free. You take it home, you complete it, you send in your insurance information, and you know, you can call your insurance company ahead of time to see if it gets pre-approved. The results will come back to one of the nutritional experts, naturopathic doctors, herbalist, or somebody at the Village Green, and you can set up a time to meet with them to go over your exact profile and help you understand what might be going on with your sleep. But the way that it looks is, you know, we take saliva samples. Now, I know the sleep profile just does a single cortisol sample at night. Is that correct?
We include the cortisol and melatonin in the saliva sample.
Now, my preference is to have the cortisol samples all throughout the day. I think that gives us a little bit of a better picture of what's going on with the adrenals, a little bit more comprehensive, but either one is helpful. So we can see right then and there, is elevated cortisol or low melatonin an issue in this person's sleep? If we see elevated cortisol, we know we have an exact direction of where to go. And this is important because if their melatonin is normal but their cortisol is elevated, they don't want to take melatonin, right?
That's exactly right.
That's not going to be helpful for them. What they need is some type of intervention that's going to lower their cortisol levels. So taking valerian at night to go to sleep or taking a prescription sleep medication isn't doing anything necessarily to decrease their cortisol levels. We want to use specific strategies to get the cortisol levels down, and usually that results in the best outcome for that person. The other aspects of the profile that we might look at is we might see something like, and I see this very commonly, a low serotonin level. Right? Wouldn't you say, Joe, that that's pretty common on a lot of these tests?
Absolutely. It is a very common point, and I'll be happy to elaborate on that.
Please do. Go ahead.
And one thing I wanted to say, Dr. Becerra, that you brought up was a really, really important point, is that the ability to test these different biomarkers for sleep disruptions is really a step more towards truly individualized medicine, which is obviously the way that we need to go, because everyone is unique, everyone is different, everyone has a unique biochemical profile, and really, in order to give someone the relief they're looking for, you have to be able to target that individual's unique biochemistry. That's really what the advantage of the testing can offer.
Exactly. I mean, how much sense do you have to convince anybody that that makes sense? If somebody said, I have a problem with a health issue, either you can just give me something to kind of cover it up, or the other option would be, I want to know exactly what's wrong with me so that you, my doctor or my healthcare provider, can make a custom plan specifically for what's going on with my body. I think we all recognize that each and every one of us are different and individuals. So to me, it certainly makes a lot of sense to individualize treatments for people's specific needs and not just throw out blanket recommendations. Again, whether it be a prescription, you know, a lot of people point their fingers at pharmaceutical companies, but the same thing can be done in the health food store as well, just throwing different herbs or melatonin or whatever it is. Nothing's being individualized to the person.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
and the outcomes will never be as good. You might get somebody to sleep and maybe help them sleep a little bit, but if you're not addressing the specific physiological issues, are you really going to be able to facilitating the kind of restful sleep that is necessary for optimal health so that their body hits all those different sleep stages and phases that we talked about at the beginning of the show?
Exactly right. And one thing that we understand from a pharmaceutical standpoint is that the two most effective pharmaceutical interventions for getting people to sleep, that being trazodone and then the Ambien, work on completely different neurotransmitter systems. And that should tell us something about the uniqueness of each individual. If one's working on a serotonin system very successfully and the other's working on the GABA system very successfully, what that suggests is that everyone out there is different, everyone has unique needs, and we need to be able to make choices, better informed choices based on those individual needs.
Sure, absolutely. So let's talk about profile comes back, melatonin levels are normal, cortisol levels are not showing elevation. You know, share with our listeners some other scenarios that commonly come up that, you know, might help guide what we're going to do as far as helping that person sleep.
Sure. As you alluded to just a moment ago, low serotonin is a very common pattern that we see associated with sleep disruption. And serotonin is one of those neurotransmitters that is made from an amino acid that is obtained in the diet. The amino acid is tryptophan, which everyone will likely recognize as a component of Thanksgiving turkey that tends to make you sleepy after the big meal.
Although I think it was scientifically proven that tryptophan did not have much to do with that, and it more had to do with overstuffing yourself and too much alcohol.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Of course, the point being, though, however, that serotonin is indeed a significant player in the sleep process, and oftentimes people come back having very low serotonin levels, to which they would benefit then from something like a tryptophan amino acid or other types of serotonin acting interventions.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about that to me is that, you know, I mean, you can take something like tryptophan or 5-hydroxytryptophan, which is just one step closer to the conversion process to serotonin that your body has. And you can take it at night to help people fall asleep. But, you know, it's interesting. Basically, your body just needs to have serotonin supported in general. And I have seen people taking tryptophan or 5-HTP supplement actually in the morning and finding that it's aiding their sleep at night, because it's not necessarily just boosting it at night, but if you have good levels across the board, when your body naturally transition into that sleep cycle, it has the building blocks necessary to get those neurotransmitter cascade started.
Your point is well taken. Serotonin plays a number of roles in the central nervous system as well as outside of the central nervous system. And if you have a fundamental deficiency in that particular neurotransmitter, obviously putting back in those precursors or building blocks for that transmitter is going to be important throughout the day. And the body knows when it needs to use serotonin to send a message throughout the nervous system, and it will call upon those stores provided by these various types of precursors when it needs it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to have to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about some other specific nutrients for sleep. I think we should elaborate a little bit more on GABA because GABA is such an important nutrient and inhibitory neurotransmitter and helps so much with not just sleep but anxiety issues. And we can talk a little bit more about some of the aspects of sleep and getting good quality sleep. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. Federal News Radio, and we're going to be back right after this break.
There are trillions of cells in your body. When they are well nourished, they support energy levels, stress response, and all major organ systems. Quality whole foods contain intelligent, bioavailable nutrients. This intelligence cannot be mimicked by isolated fractions of vitamins and minerals alone. Choose a megafood, cold fusion, food state, or food-based formula, and experience the true quality of radiant health. For more information, call 800-848-2542.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Listen. Blissful silence. The sound of a healthy, balanced digestive system. No rumbling stomach, no loud gurgles, and most of all, no discomfort. Gero Formula's Ideal Bowel Support 299V contains a clinically documented probiotic strain that promotes regularity, enhances intestinal comfort, and optimizes immune health. And now you can get a free sample of Ideal Bowel Support 299V when you visit our website at jarrow.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero. Don't forget to tune in next week when my wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be covering another great topic related to health and wellness. Don't forget, we're here every Sunday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. You can also stream us live on the web by going to www.federalnewsradio.com, and you can download all of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free, either by going to iTunes and typing in Essentials of Healthy Living, or going to www.myvillagegreen.com and just clicking on the archive show section. Today, we've been talking about sleep and sleep issues, which is obviously a very important issue for a lot of people out there. The special guest on the phone with us today has been sharing with us a wealth of information related to sleep. We've been understanding and dissecting some of the aspects of different sleep phases and sleep stages. And really, what we spend a lot of the show focusing on is discussing the specific biochemical markers, hormones, neurotransmitters, and the complex process that is involved with getting good sleep. At the end of the last segment, we were wrapping up a conversation about How some of the testing that neuroscience offers helps us to understand what your specific needs are in regards to why you might not be sleeping well. The tests actually break down all of the different parameters related to sleep hormones, including things like cortisol, which is a major stress hormone, melatonin, which is a very important hormone released by the pineal gland, which helps our body go from wakefulness to sleepiness. Also, all of the very important neurotransmitters that are involved with sleep, serotonin, dopamine, GABA, epinephrine, norepinephrine. These are inhibitory neurotransmitters that help slow our brain down, and also stimulatory neurotransmitters. And imbalances in either can be very disruptive to optimal sleep cycles. So in this segment, Joe, I was wondering if you could pick up a little bit where we left off before. I wanted you to talk a little bit more about GABA. And GABA is a really important inhibitory neurotransmitter. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about antihistamines and how those work on the brain and affect our sleep.
Certainly. As I mentioned earlier in the show, GABA is really the big dog when it comes to regulating sleep function. I also mentioned the hypothalamus, that brain region that uses GABA as a chemical messenger to essentially make all the signals to help transition one into that sleep process and then the subsequent stages that we had discussed earlier. What we have found is that oftentimes there are imbalances in various neurotransmitters where we need to actually support that GABA system, whether it's through a pharmaceutical or a dietary intervention, to really ramp up its activity. Sometimes it's hobbling along, not quite a strong enough signal to really induce that transition into the sleep state. And so we want to keep our focus on making sure that that GABA system is performing as well as it can be in order to optimize sleep function.
Now, here's the interesting thing about GABA, and this totally blows my mind. Number one, people need to understand that most GABA supplements that you buy and that you take cannot cross the blood-brain barrier. So they are not able to get into your brain and bind the GABA receptors in your brain. Correct, Joe?
That's absolutely correct.
Absolutely correct. However, our body does have GABA receptors all over. So a lot of people who take regular, you know, supplement GABA from the health food store do feel a relaxing, calming effect, but they have to understand it is working primarily on the periphery of your body, not necessarily in the brain where GABA is really, really needed. The pharmaceutical interventions for GABA do cross the blood-brain barrier. Now, here is what I don't understand. How is neuroscience, the company, Joe, that you work for, the only company out there that I have ever found to ever use a form of GABA that can cross the blood-brain barrier?
It's a really good, important point, Dr. Passero. Unfortunately, there's a lot of marketing hype out there. Buyer beware. Many of the companies out there are not going as far into the science as they should when they develop their products. And it's not to say they're doing this purposefully. I guess that's another conversation for another time. But some just are not putting in the necessary scientific acumen, if you will, in order to define whether or not that particular product is going to work. We've done our diligence in that regard. We dug as deep into the scientific literature as we could, and what we have found, as you stated earlier, is indeed GABA itself cannot cross from the periphery into the brain. It's a one-way street in that regard. And so what we had to do then was dig even deeper into the scientific literature to identify what types of ingredients are found in nature that can actually cross the blood-brain barrier, get into the brain, and act on those GABA receptors.
Exactly. So, I mean, that I think is just testimony to the work that you guys are doing, because I honestly, no matter what other supplement company I've ever looked into, the ones that I have the highest, most respect for, none of them are using GABA that can cross the blood-brain barrier, which totally baffles me. The other thing that I think is interesting to note is taurine is another really pretty simple, very safe amino acid-like compound that can cross the blood-brain barrier and weakly acts on GABA receptors and also helps your body to use GABA a little bit more efficiently. Is that correct?
That is correct. What the science tells us there as well is that the GABA system is also a very complex system. And what we know is that there are two types of receptors that accept the GABA molecule. It's called the GABA-A receptor and the GABA-B receptor. Now, both of these receptors are very important in the sleep process. And most of the interventions out there, whether they're pharmaceutical or dietary supplements in nature, are only going to touch on one of those receptor systems. Neuroscience, again, doing our scientific diligence, recognizes the need to hit both of those receptor systems and therefore have designed our formulations to ensure we're going to hit that spectrum of GABA receptors.
Absolutely, and I will attest to how effective those products can actually be when you actually understand the science and design a product around the science.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk for a minute about antihistamines and how histamine and antihistamines, a lot of people use them as sleep aids, and how that plays a role in sleep.
That's a great question as well. Certainly we recognize the value that antihistamines play from an immune or allergy standpoint, very effective at helping people manage allergies. But they've also got this interesting side effect in that they tend to make people very drowsy or actually help induce sleep. And so we ask ourselves, you know, why is it that an antihistamine has such a profound impact on someone's level of wakefulness or sleep? And what we also have come to recognize through our scientific research is that histamine actually plays a very important role as a neurotransmitter in the central nervous system, specifically in a couple of pathways that are intricately tied to the sleep system. Again, what the science tells us is that histamine is one of the primary excitatory drivers or on switches in the daytime, in that when the body starts coming around to morning time and more chemical signals are coming in to wake up, the histamine circuits become very, very active. So therefore, it starts to make sense that anything that blocks histamine action, such as an antihistamine medication, would help someone put them into a more restful or a sleep-like state.
Right. But as we've been discussing all throughout the show, inducing sleep and getting people to sleep isn't necessarily the most productive thing if you're not addressing the specific reason of why they're having trouble sleeping. And that's the whole point of why somebody might do one of these neuroscience tests, understand their physiology, work with someone who can interpret it so that they can understand the specifics of why their sleep is not being regulated.
That's absolutely correct. We certainly don't promote that an antihistamine is something we would suggest using for the long term. Rather, what we suggest is that if there is indeed a histamine imbalance, what we'll use is various types of inhibitory agents, such as GABA-supporting agents and serotonin agents, to help dampen that histamine activity. And so it's a bit of an indirect method to go about addressing the imbalances, but in the long run is a much more healthy way to go about addressing that type of imbalance.
Right. Well, the other issue, and we only have a few minutes left, but, you know, the other question is what's driving a histamine reaction? So this is where we get into the aspect of how the immune system and things that might be allergy triggers or sensitivity triggers might be fueling histamine and causing disruptions from that end.
That's a very exciting area of science that's really starting to take the stage as the next paradigm in medical bioscience. And the umbrella term for this very exciting field is called psychoneuroimmunology. It's a big, long word that essentially encompasses all the body's major communication systems as one integrated whole that work to orchestrate our very complex processes throughout the day. And essentially what this field is seeking to understand is how immunology, how endocrinology, how neurology interact to really guide all these processes. And as you mentioned, the immune system plays an incredible role in its impact on sleep and wake cycles. Allergies, food sensitivities, chronic infections,
yep,
toxins, all these can have a significant impact on the function of the sleep-wake cycle.
Yeah, and the testing that your guys have developed and are doing has made my job so much easier and so much more fun because it's created a field of parameters that help me understand what's going on the immune level, on the neurological level, and how that might be affecting what's going on with the psychology. And it's all so plain when you put it all out on paper. It tells such a beautiful story and helps people understand so much more about their health. Just real quick, I had a patient the other day. We did a profile. We saw some abnormalities, and it looked very much like there was some type of neurotoxin or immune toxin going on. I asked her about mold or chronic infection. She denied all of them, told me her house was new, no mold issue. She emailed me 2 days later and said they found huge amounts of mold under her portable classroom. She's a teacher from an air conditioning leak. And she said, I can't believe you had told me about it 2 days before they even found the mold. So, I mean, it can be really, really profound. So, Joe, we're pretty much out of time. So if you could say your goodbyes.
Thank you very much for having me on, Dr. Becerro. It's been a great discussion.
Yes, thank you so much, Joe, for being on. I really do appreciate it. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I really hope you learned a lot today about sleep. Again, if you have interested in getting one of these profiles done, they're likely covered by your insurance. Just stop into the Village Green, talk to one of the nutritional advisors there. You can get a kit for absolutely free. Go home, take your samples, send them in, and we'll set up an appropriate person to meet with to review the results of the test and discuss interventions that might be appropriate for you. So thanks again, everybody. This is Dr. Kevin Becerro with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and I'll catch you all in a couple weeks. Take care.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.